residential training officer, autonomous lighting specialist, arc residential
smart house. Welcome to Residential Tech Talks. I'm Jeremy Glowacki, executive editor of Residential Tech Today. On this week's podcast, Eddie Shapiro joins us from the DC area, where he is chief AV designer at the custom integration firm Smart Touch USA. Eddie has recently completed his term as a CEDIA board member. Just this past week, joined a contingent of CEDIA representatives in Washington, D.C. to advocate for current and future generations of the smart home industry during the inaugural CEDIA Day on the Hill. Meetings with political leaders on March 6 addressed two critical matters, the Freedom to Invest in Tomorrow's Workforce Act and creating a classification of integrator in the Standard Occupational Classification System. While this is just the first in several follow-up conversations that I have planned on this topic, I wanted to start with Eddie's unique perspective, and I'll also ask him about the recent Lightapalooza conference in Glendale, Arizona, where I saw him taking more notes than any of us journalists attending the event. Eddie Shapiro, welcome to Residential Tech Talks. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Jeremy. Thank you. Appreciate the invite. Always great to be on a podcast or watching your podcast.
Well, thank you. And you made big points with me when I was getting ready to go up and moderate a panel there at Lightapalooza. And I said something about, you know, to someone who maybe didn't know who I was, I forget who I was even speaking to. And I said, you know, it's this magazine nobody ever receives or reads. And you're like, no, that's ridiculous. Don't say that. So I appreciate you defending my modesty there, my attempt at humble speak. But I did want to talk about all those things that I teed up there in the intro, but we're recording this on March 11th on a Monday, and you're in the DC area. How are things there? Are you getting the cold weather or the weird warm snap that we're going through?
Well, after I got back from Lightapalooza, we had the warm weather, which was kind of cool. Then this Saturday, it was incredibly rainy. And then Sunday and today, it's super windy and cold. So
yes,
not loving any of it.
Yeah. We went through the windy yesterday as well. I was trying to walk my dog. I'm like, it seems like it should be nice out, but the wind is making it feel pretty chilly. So that will blow past. Trust me, you're a day behind us in the middle of the country, and it's going to warm back up for you. So
yeah, I'm excited. Spring is here. I can feel it.
Exactly. Well, hey, so you're didn't have to travel far for this CEDIA excursion. You had a lot of folks coming from different parts of the country for CEDIA Day on the Hill there. I saw several posts on LinkedIn and Facebook where a lot of pictures of folks that I recognized. And it was great that you were able to participate with probably your past 2 years or so of CEDIA board experience. Being local, I'm sure helped to make this an obvious stop for you. But why was it important, did you feel, to be there in person for this this effort with the CEDIA board and other members of the association?
Well, first, thank you to Alex Capasalacho for inviting me. He's our new chair on the board, and Daryl. So it was great to see the board and join them in what really is important, because this is first of many times that I know that CEDIA and the board will go back to the Hill and lobby for membership on a number of topics. The two topics right now, the bill that allows 529 savings accounts to be used for other things than four-year colleges, but more for trade and other types of training for our industry, is really important, because that's how we're going to get more people into our vertical of workforce. I mean, one of the biggest challenges we have as an association and as integrators is really finding great people to help on the workforce. So demand is high for what integrators do, technology professionals. People want lighting control and motorized shades and Wi-Fi and, you know, about 8 or 9 different categories of what we all do. And you can't do it without people, and really good people. So it is all about people. And having this bill passed by Congress would be really great, because we would see people get funding for trade schools and training, which is really important. And then the SOC or the SOC part is important, because right now we're not recognized as an industry. We're recognized under electricians. And so that can impact both setting up really good training schools, getting training schools to recognize us as an industry. And it also impacts our insurance rates, because we're being charged as electricians when we buy insurance. So both very important topics and efforts that, if anybody could lead that well, it would be CEDIA. So I see that really as an important venture for them and service to our membership. So it's important.
So that 529 savings plan to start with, the Workforce Act, that's a really interesting one. My wife and I have used that very effectively to save for our two daughters, and now we're getting ready for the first one to go to college next fall. And it worked out very well for us. And as it stands now, that is only, he can help me understand this better, to be used for a university kind of education. But your efforts here with this, supporting this act, is to make it available to trade schools, just simply put, to make it also that savings to be used toward a trade school in addition, right?
Right. I'm not an expert on this, but my understanding is that I think you can only use it for 4-year colleges right now, maybe not even two, but perhaps two. I'm not exactly sure, but I know you can't use it for, going to welding school or plumbing school or AV integrator school, if you will.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So that's a good effort. And what, while you were there in person, just to take these one by one, what is the experience like there on the Hill? The press release that I received from CEDIA today talked about the CEDIA board members, executives, and industry leaders meeting at the legislative offices of several U.S. politicians. Were you a part of all those meetings? Were you into some and not others? What was that process like in real time?
So first, I want to say that it was great to have people like G. Paul Hess and John Clancy and J.C. Murphy and Nick from Origin. I mean, the fact that all those companies stepped up and spent their time coming with us to represent the industry was great. Hats off to those guys. It was a long day for some of them, for sure. We split up into groups. So we had a group, and then I think there was probably two groups, and we saw different representatives. And I would tell you that even though I'm local to the Capitol, maybe takes 25 minutes on a weekend when there's no traffic to get there, I'd never been inside the Capitol or inside the Rayburn Building or the other one. There's two office buildings that both link back to the Capitol underground. And, you always see these interviews where these guys are walking through a tunnel. So we were in those tunnels, which was really cool. But the amount of activity is staggering. I mean, this was watching your government at work. I mean, everybody from all walks of life are running through these different office buildings trying to get 15 minutes of attention from your congressman. And it was something I'd never seen before. And it's fascinating how it works. And I've met politicians before, and some I thought were pretty amazing, but I was blown away by Congressman Moran from Texas and Congressman Whitman from Virginia, who I think we all saw Congressman Whitman. But, these guys, Congressman Whitman was, or rather Moran had been, in Texas for Super Tuesday, I think, or whatever he was doing that day, and came back and made time for us. I mean, literally got off the plane and 2 hours later he was meeting with us. And he was the nicest guy. I just was blown away by him. And he was very supportive. I believe Congressman Whitman is the sponsor of the bill. Okay. And also super nice, great guy. So it was impressive. These guys seemed to be engaged. They were listening. They were aware. It wasn't like it was the first time they were hearing about it. They mm-hmm. both were really engaged, and that was great to see.
And had you been involved in some of the government affairs work as a CEDIA board member? I know that Darren Rieman is obviously the nucleus of that whole initiative for CEDIA as an association for many, many years as a staff member. And the board members come and go, and their terms on the board. So were you engaged particularly with that, or is this kind of a new part of your volunteerism?
Well, so I've known Darren for a while. I've worked with him. I was on the board for 3 years. So I knew Darren before and during and now after. And he's just brilliant, a huge asset to CEDIA. And so I'm not on government affairs. I'm actually now on the governance committee, which is an important role as well. But government affairs obviously is going to become front and center going forward. So I'll help where I can, but that's not a group that I serve under. But he really is a master and has done a lot to help Texas, as an example, not this past CEDIA Expo, but the one before in Dallas. We had a morning breakfast where Darren and Will and Daryl, a number of people, were on stage talking about their efforts to thwart a bill in Texas that was really going to make it difficult for the AV industry. And they were successful at squashing the bill, which was great because it was an unfair bill. So yeah. Darren's work is important and meaningful.
Absolutely. And obviously, Daryl Friedman, who is, now a more veteran CEO and global president for CEDIA, having been in the role for multiple years now. It seems like he just came in because time flies by, but his background is the DC area and lobbying and working with the music recording industry. Prior to this Grammy, connection. So he has the comfort level, I would imagine, in those halls that you yes. get to see for the first time. Yes. So that must be really reassuring as well for the leader of the association to have that experience.
Yes, he's got the right ties to find the right talent to help us get our initiatives forward. And he does definitely know how to lobby and be involved with Congress and getting different, initiatives forward. So it was comfortable. He knew exactly what he was doing. He had all the right people with him. CEDIA was incredibly prepared. It was like, we were built for this. It was great.
Oh, that's great. And you also were, looks like I there was a name in there that I saw in one of the photos, and I had to look up who this was. And I assumed who it was, but I was correct. It was someone from a law firm who happens to work in more of the professional lobbyist kind of world. So I believe the firm is Greenberg Traurig. I'm not sure how to pronounce that, but Diane Blagman was there.
Yes,
so that was good. You had some other experienced leadership along with you. So
So Diane was our group leader, and she was running us around and keeping us on track, and she was incredibly well received by the congressman. So she was great to have with us. I learned a lot from her.
Great. And you overall just had a positive experience and feeling like everybody was heard and that the efforts were worthwhile being there in person.
You know, it was a long day and it was worth every minute. It was really well done. And I think there was progress.
That's good. That's really great. And I think it's one of those values with CEDIA that I try to remind our audience who thinks of CEDIA still in the days of it's just the group that ran the expo, and that doesn't happen anymore because it's not owned by the association anymore. But what we see out of CEDIA, obviously, are the the tech summits, which are important, smaller events throughout the year. And the most important is the government representation, the lobbying, the protecting the trade. And this is like just the core moment of doing that. I think you're going to see more and more of that as we go forward with the leadership. So congrats on that. Thank you so much for attending and being there and reporting on it from your social media and LinkedIn and everything. Now let's talk about your company a little bit more and how you got started in the industry. I love to, you know, always remind folks how our guests got into this business, even if they've heard the story before. I haven't really dug into your bio before. So how did you originally get started in the I guess, consumer electronics or CI business, however it is you entered into this world?
Right. Well, if I can, I just want to back up for just a second and talk a little bit more about Expo, but not long. Okay. So, or Cedia rather. So Cedia, no matter how many years pass, Jeremy, you're still going to have a tremendous population of our membership who thinks we own the Expo.
Yeah.
I don't know how you get around that, but we don't. But I think the big focus, and I see it at Expo, is there's a huge effort by Cedia, the association, to do education at Expo and at ISE in Europe. So government affairs and workforce development, like NextGen, if you haven't seen it, I'm sure you have, is a great program. Cedia Outreach, teaching architects about lighting and other technologies that we offer as a group, and then be able to give them CEUs is really powerful. So there's a lot that goes on post being the Expo owners. So,
right.
So on to me. So back before electricity, I was in the security business.
You're one of those. See, so it's not, it's like,
I'm not a pure play. No. So I started in security years ago, pre-2000. And I, you know, did a lot of that work myself and with like one or two, you know, people that worked with me. And then around 2000, it became very obvious to me one day, I'd worked on this 10,000 square foot house. We worked tirelessly to get the alarm system to work and do all the things that the homeowner wanted. Plus, we were doing speaker wiring and telephone systems and, you know, intercoms and a lot of low voltage items. But we were not doing, well, there really wasn't. Control 4 was fast at the time, or the beginnings of Control 4 was fast. There was no Savant. There was Crestron on the commercial side. So there really wasn't a lot out there on the residential side. But the individual selling the TVs and whatever he was offering back in 2000 brought in this large rear projection Mitsubishi TV. And I couldn't get the owner's attention to show him how to use the alarm. He could have cared less about me or my company or my team. And I said, aha, there you go. That's where we need to be. This security stuff, it's important. I mean, I did it for Nordstrom and Tiffany and you know, PricewaterhouseCoopers, and I did SCIFs and all that stuff was great, but this is the cool stuff. So around 2000, we pivoted. 2004, we got involved with Control 4. Obviously, they were not as mature as they are today. I would say today that Crestron, Savant, you know, Control 4, the big three, they're all very comparable, and competent product lines. So, but back then it wasn't exactly the same. So fast forward from there, we started with Savant back in 2009, never looked back. Then we got an opportunity with the Four Seasons back in 2015. They really wanted Crestron. Savant was having a moment with William Lynch, which wasn't their best moment. And so that's when we actually joined Crestron at the last expo they were at in 2015 in Dallas. They wouldn't return till I think 2021 due to COVID and other reasons, right? Mm-hmm. So we've been in the commercial residential space. We're 95% residential these days. we did the Four Seasons MDU. It was Crestron, you know, through and through prior to, the pandemic, we shifted away from Crestron and moved into Lutron for lighting and shading predominantly, became a Ketra certified experience center, and really have been all in on Lutron for lighting and shading. And so we still use Crestron and other brands like Basalt Home for the control layer, but the control layer is not as important as it once was, unless it's a larger home. And our top line for that is Basalt Home, with Crestron being the secondary.
Yeah, I saw a post from you that, did you travel to Belgium to see Basalt in person?
Yes, I've worked with Basalt for, it's been over 12 years, and Klaus and the team, Norma and Brian and Tom, everybody over there is just phenomenal. Their U.S. presence is growing really well. I went to Belgium in June, saw the factory, spent some time with Klaus and Tom, and it was a great trip. They really are, I call them the Apple of Belgium. They design well, they deliver well, and they have a really great organization.
Yeah, you're one of the first I've talked to with that experience with them, just in terms of putting them at sort of the top of your, you know, recommendation list or specification list. So that's interesting to hear and know about as we evolve approaches to control. And obviously Lutron has a huge presence in our industry, and
right,
even more so with the focus now on lighting fixtures. So
well, Lutron and Basalt actually play nicely together. And we also like to sprinkle a little Josh AI on all of that too. You know, the integration between Josh and Lutron is fantastic. So those are really our three brands we love, you know, just love them to death. I think they're great.
And are you, as many of the CEDIA channel integrators are, pretty much focused on the luxury high-end sort of home, or how far down do you go to the middle of the market?
I would say that 90% of our work is luxury residential, new construction, 7,000 to 18,000 square feet. We do work on some retrofit. We probably should do a little bit more of that, but we do love new construction. I love architects and builders, and that's the group I've worked with for years and spent most of my time with. You know, when I work with a builder, it's not a one-off. We're usually with them for, you know, two dozen years, because we have a great relationship and we shepherd their projects along to finish on time and at a competent level. And that's important. And so we have long architect and builder relationships.
Yeah, we spoke offline about your title that you list as Chief AV Designer. And I asked you about that and wanted to make sure that I didn't assume anything, but with your veteran status and involvement in CEDIA board, you're typically going to be an owner level person. And so you confirmed this, you do own your company, and but your AV designer hat is kind of where you want to be, where you work with interior designers, you work with architects. And so the word designer really is who you are and who they relate to, probably more than just the guy that's paying the bills, right? So that's kind of how you explain it.
Exactly. Because lighting is a passion for me. Lighting, motorized shades, but really lighting design. And, you know, the world of lighting is really my passion. I just, you know, if you look at some of the brands we saw at Lightapalooza, I mean, they were just, you know, they're just the best of the best, some of them. You know, I think they really were amazing. You know, you have Modular, you had a Pure, you had Aspire, WAC, Lucetta, you know, Lutron, of course, Lucifer. I mean, the list goes on and on and on, right? And those companies are delivering, you know, great LED and linear and recessed lighting. You know, look at Kluse and Illumini, and of course, DMF has, you know, really catered to our group. I would say that, interestingly enough, after all these years of working in AV, without burning any bridges. I really am incredibly impressed by the support that you get out of the lighting manufacturers. Laney and Mike and, you know, the whole group over at DMF. I mean, if you call them, they answer the phone, and if you leave them a message, they call you an hour later. WAC is the same way. Lucifer is the same way. Tech's the same way. Delta's the same way. You know, they're all just incredibly responsive to our channel, which it really wasn't like that a while ago, right? And yeah. Lighting is a really great category. It's creative. It allows you to be creative. It allows you to, I mean, how many homes have you walked into or seen or heard about where there are wafer discs on the ceiling because the builder thought that was a good idea?
Right.
It's a good idea because it was economically feasible for him, but he didn't have the education to understand that glare is a problem, aesthetics are a problem, color temperature is a problem. I mean, lighting is designed to light up objects in the room, and having really great light is probably the most important appliance you could have in your home when you're building a new home. Lighting is everything. So having great light is, I've already said it, the most important thing.
So did you get started in the fixtures part of it? Because everyone, I would say most integrators have been doing lighting control forever and shades, motorized shades for quite a while. Did you get started in the fixtures with Ketra, or was it before that?
No, I would say that it was Fanary first and then Ketra. But okay. Ketra really sparked all of my creativity. I mean, it's just such a beautiful product.
Yeah.
And I say this because I believe it. And it's, you know, it's hard to convince people until they see it. Lighting is something you have to see. But if I go to our experience center and I spend an afternoon in the experience center with Ketra, you know, full on lighting up the space, I feel more energized when I leave. And I don't feel that way in other spaces. So I really do believe there's something to the human-centric part of this. I mean, it's not something that's necessarily proven, but
right.
I feel it. And that's all that matters. And I don't think I'm convincing myself. I mean, I like bright light. I like good quality light. You know, I'm not a 2700 Kelvin guy, if you will. I'm more of a 3200 Kelvin guy, but
okay.
The beauty of Ketra is it could be whatever anybody wants for their space. So if you like 2700, great. If your husband, you know, likes 3400, great. You know, you can have a button for each of you, you know, and a room for each of you.
I think you're describing my wife and me because I'm more of the 27. I prefer to mimic the cave and the candlelight, and she wants to operate on, whatever, you know, perform surgery in her surgical suite. So this is at night mostly we're talking about, you know, I like it to warm up and be, that warm dim, that yellowed kind of lighting. So I've been holding on to incandescent as long as possible. We're finally reaching the end of that. I cannot replace bulbs anymore. So I am now exploring
the
wonders.
A plea out here over the podcast.
Yeah.
Some dealers will follow up with you with their incandescent stock.
Oh, well that's one option. Yeah. I've come to, realize that, that 1000bulb.com thing is a good option for LED. And then beyond that, I had some great conversations at Lightapalooza. I might've been doing a little shopping. So,
there you go. Good.
Yeah. So you sit there and, in the big ballroom of Lightapalooza, there in Glendale, and are just taking amazing notes to the point of, well, I'm glad I'm not competing with Eddie as a, fellow editor, because he's way ahead of me on note taking. I'm soaking it in. I'm also trying to be a panel moderator, and that stresses me out.
Oh, you were great. Don't worry about it.
Oh, thank you so much. But I wonder what, you know, a veteran of this, you know, I guess category comes to an event like Lollapalooza and picks up that's new. I talked to Richard Milson, who everyone respects as such a brilliant guy. And
yes, he is.
And I said, you know, what do you do? And he's like, I'm looking for that one, like that, I don't know what he said, 5% or that one thing that I just didn't know about. Like, that's why I keep coming back to any event, CEDIA Expo, Lollapalooza, whatever it is. And is that kind of where you're going? You're trying to pick up that thing you're missing, or are you still learning a lot of new things?
Well, I spent about 8 hours in Peter Romanello's classes. So there was a lot to learn. There's always a lot to learn, especially if you haven't been designing as long as somebody like Pete has. And so, but that's true of any event. Like, I've gone to a number of ISE events, and it's worth the trip across the pond for the classes alone, not to mention that the show is phenomenal. But whether it's Expo, ISE, you know, Lollapalooza, there's always something you're going to take away. I like to call it that one nugget, if you will. And to Richard's point, there's always something you're going to leave with. And the fact that we had an expo floor or a show floor, if you will, besides classes, means you're going to walk away with a product that you didn't know existed. And there was plenty of that for me. Lucetta has a grazer. I think they call it the Grazer X. That was really a special product for grazing a wall. You know, I could talk about Clues or DMF or Aspire, any of them. They all had really cool items that you want to use on your next project. But you want to use the right item, obviously, for your next product or project.
Right.
That's why, you know, you can see 10 or 15 of these manufacturers. It doesn't mean that each one of them needs to be on your next project. You know, maybe it's Lucifer for one item, maybe it's DMF for another, maybe it's Lucetta for another, and Prolux for another, right? So you have to find the right fit. And that's really what sets a lighting designer apart from someone doing lighting layouts, right? Is understanding and knowing what your toolbox is of great lighting.
Absolutely. And you brought up a good point about designing as well. And that that's the part that I focus less on. I was more into the general trend sort of classes, and then of course the expo floor, but the long classes from the actual designers where you're learning technique, that's something that the industry is just starting to scratch the surface on. How do you become a lighting designer? You can hire out designers, but to have it in your own house to do it, your own company, is a great efficiency and skill set. So are you feeling more and more comfortable then in terms of how to be an artist with the light, and as well as just, you know, the functional needs of the home and making it aesthetically, you know, a better experience for the client?
So we are working with lighting designers, some that we're closer with than others. I'm not comfortable yet delivering a design on my own, because, you know, this is someone's building a house. They're going to live there for 10, 15, 20 years. Bad light's bad light. And I don't want to be that guy till I know I am that guy that can do it right. So, but having the knowledge, like for the grazer situation, you know, getting the right grazer, you kind of know when something's right and when it's not. You're also able to help aim lighting, which is really good if you're working with a lighting designer and you don't want that designer who may live in California to have to fly in just to aim the lights. If you're well-trained on that, then you can aim the lights. And so people may be saying, well, why would we want you to do that? Well, why did you want us to do your motorized shades? Because we're the most competent at delivering on time and with some expertise. And so we'll have the expertise you need in this category too. Shading started off slowly, and now if you look at it today, Lutron is expanding their Virginia factory to be the largest factory in the world. I think over 140,000 square feet. And a good part of that work is all handled by technology professionals in our industry. So same thing's going to happen to lighting, which is why you can see now that a lot of manufacturers are talking to us, because we're going to read the specs and we're going to put in the right light in the right place at the right time.
Yeah. And I don't want to go too far ahead on Lightapalooza without giving Tom Daugherty his due, as yes, he deserves, for pulling this all together. This is his baby. HTSA obviously supported him in the endeavor, but then they've kind of, you know, sort of stepped back in the shadows to make it an industry event at Tom's urging, because it's more than just one of the buying groups. You know, it's everybody that's in this together, and an opportunity for a collaborative, you know, chance for the industry to grow. So Tom did a great job at curating those manufacturers who you mentioned, and pretty much, I guess, teaching them what the industry needed from a standpoint of available programs, you know, pricing models, that sort of thing. And I think we're seeing that responsiveness from those companies a lot because of what Tom's prepping over the years has done to influence them and how they think about the CI channel. Are you seeing that as well? Are you experiencing that firsthand, that it really did? I'm not giving him too much credit, am I? He really does deserve a lot.
I was going to mention it as well. I mean, you know, Tom and Chris were the original founders of Cedia, and it's clear that helping the industry is at the heart of what Tom thinks about. He had a great AI symposium at Expo. I mean, he's a very forward thinker. I mean,
yeah,
I told him a number of times, you know, I thanked him. I mean, this is when I first heard about Lightapalooza the first year, which I believe it was only for HTSA the first year.
He pretty much, yeah, I think he had to keep it so small that he allowed anyone who wasn't, but it wasn't really promoted.
Yeah, right, you didn't know about it. But
yeah,
last year I went, it was amazing. This year, yeah, I said, I have to go. It was so great last year, and it exceeded my expectations this year, partly because we had a larger show floor with more really great vendors, and partly because I watched Tom, like every time I was at the keynote or another open forum, he was there with the thoughtful questions and kind of herding the cats to make sure that everybody was doing the right thing. And it was nonstop for him for the entire time. And I just really, we owe him a lot. We really do. And some of the, you know, I guess it was the keynote, I don't remember which one it was, where he was talking about Robert Mondavi and the example of California wines and how each winery used to compete against each other. And Robert Mondavi said, guys, we're not each other's competition. France is our competition. And so he said, look, we all need to come together as integrators and work together, and as lighting manufacturers work together. And that there's nothing that could be truer than that, is we all have to work together and stop being so territorial, if you will. And so Tom is a prime example of taking something and giving it to the entire industry. And it was a generous, amazing thing to do.
Yeah, that was an anecdote that I learned first at an HTSA conference. And that was that panel that I was moderating. And really kind of the whole core topic was collaboration. And of course, you had Daryl Friedman on there, and you had you had ProSource represented and HTSA represented. Yep, exactly. And ASEON was well represented within the conference. They weren't on that panel, but they were there in terms of leadership and membership. So those are just the buying groups in the association, but there are plenty of non-affiliated participants there that weren't in any of those groups necessarily, who were part of this, and that was a great message about Mondavi effect and how it did help the California wine industry. But as you focus so much on lighting and shades, motorized shades control and installation, do you still have and you talked about obviously the control systems in general. Beyond those areas, are you still having like entertainment systems and things that you're that you're specifying installing in your clients' homes?
Yes. So we lead with lighting design and lighting fixtures, the whole lighting category, along with motorized shades. But we are quite competent in the entire breadth of what an AV integrator would do. We just finished a really great theater about 4 months ago, a beautiful space. Homeowners love it. We really almost couldn't pull them out of there to finish the rest of the training. It was, you know, from the acoustics to the speakers to the Barco projector to the Scenic seating, it was luxurious. It was beautiful. It sounded great. It performed great. And so, you know, I love lighting. I also love audio. You know, it's when you're surrounded by all these great categories like we are, you know, it's easy to, you know, love all these products. I mean, Meridian and Scenic. I mean, that's the beauty. When we talk about being a designer, you know, do you get the $500 theater chair, or do you work with a client to explain why Scenic or some of the other Cinematech or some of the others are really great and why you should use that instead? And it's up to us as integrators to educate the consumer, because if you don't, they're going to end up with lawn chairs in their theater and wafer lights on their ceiling.
Right. Well, I would say you sound like one of the wise integrators in our industry who's figured out how to not only, you know, go to an event like Lightapalooza where things are curated, but you're curating yourself the quality experience for your clients. Yes. And I would imagine that you will continue to evolve and bring in those types of products. And so you go to next up on your tour of events. Obviously, you'll be at CEDIA Expo in the fall.
Absolutely.
Do you also do any continuing education type things with your, you know, partners in the industry, or not in the industry, but in the building trade? Like, do you work with any of your interior designers on that sort of thing, so you can bring them that education, or work with your builders?
Well, we have a builder coming tomorrow with his architect, interior designer, and project manager to look at Basalt and Lutron and Ketra and all the things that we offer at our experience center. And I taught a continuing education class about 2 weeks ago for an architect. I have another one next week. So active. Great. On the teaching trail for continuing education for architects.
That's awesome. And that experience center, is that, you said that was based in Columbia,
yes,
Maryland. So, and that is invitation only, I'm assuming, that type of a space, or is it open all the time with staffing, or?
Well, we do have staff there every day, and it's better to have an appointment, which is what we encourage. And it's between Baltimore and Washington, so it's accessible to both. And usually architects and builders come, and clients especially come, and, you know, we help them, because I think, you know, it's easy to sell a lighting control solution, if you will, sell design, whatever you want to say. But it's more important to give people the option to understand what that input device is going to be at the end of your fingertip. You know, is it going to be Elise? Is it going to be Palladium? Is it going to be Basalt? Is it going to be Meljack? Is it going to be Forbes and Lomax? You know, it could be anything. You know, what is your taste? What would you like? And if you just give them a keypad and don't talk about it, you're not really curating, as you would say, and I would say, the design process, which I think is really important. So by coming to our experience center, you get to see invisible speakers, you get to see small aperture speakers, you get to see Meridian speakers, you get to see lighting keypads, you get to see Ketra. So it's important to show up and see what's going to end up in your home, and that we give them an opportunity. It's a great place to come. Everybody seems to love it. And so we keep doing it.
That's great, Eddie. I really appreciate your time today. I'm glad we finally got to know each other better, and what better place to do it than in a public space like a podcast. And now next time I see you in person, we'll sit down and have a, you know, cup of coffee and chat some more, like we're old friends.
Sounds great. Thank you, Jeremy. Appreciate it very much.
Absolutely. Eddie Shapiro is past CEDIA board member and chief AV designer at Smart Touch USA in Columbia, Maryland. You can learn more about his company at smarttouchusa.com and find him actively engaged in industry conversations on LinkedIn. And that wraps up today's show, which was produced by Residential Tech Today, IPW, and Pretty Easy Podcast. If you're new to Residential Tech Talks, please subscribe to the podcast wherever you watched or listened to this episode. Also, check out all the latest residential tech news at our magazine's website, restechtoday.com, where you can also subscribe to the print or digital magazine and to our Tuesday and Thursday email newsletters. Until next time, please stay safe, stay inspired, and let us know if you have a great story to tell. Residential Tech Talks. Smart device, home or smart house.